As a capo working for Rosemary's father, Don Carlo Gambione, Don Federico the Butcher Macellaio had once ordered Bagabon's death. Bagabond had not forgotten. Standing beside an oak in a nearly deserted Central Park, she started toward Central Park West and was glad most of New York appeared to be down at Jet Boy's tomb. She felt conspicuous in the brown tweed business suit and high heels she'd scavenged from one of her subterranean stashes. But this way, none of the normal denizens of the park could possibly recognize her. A few of the street people had seen too much over the years. It was best to be discreet. She slid her aching left foot out of the shoe and stood, weight on her right leg, as she watched Don Federico exit his exclusive apartment building. The sheltering canopy said, "The Luxor." Dressed in an expensively tailored black suit, the butcher crossed the sidewalk to a white Cadillac stretch limousine. He was flanked by two guards in dark glasses and unbuttoned suit jackets. Getting into the car, Don Federico snatched the door out of his chauffeur's hand and slammed it. The driver paused for a fraction of a second before turning sharply around and getting into the car. One of the guards got into the front seat beside the driver, while the other appeared to scan the sidewalk and Central Park West in both directions. The limousine pulled out and crossed against horn-blowing traffic to enter the park at the West Drive. With disbelief, Rosemary had once told her about the Don's habits. It was always the same route. The Don was either very stupid or very self-assured. A show of power. Knowing the limo would drive across the transverse, then exit onto 65th and cruise past Temple Emmanuel to the butcher's favorite restaurant, Aronica's, Bagabond walked at an oblique angle through the park. She mentally summoned a flock of pigeons and nearly 100 squirrels. They waited at the stone bridge near the middle of the drive. As Bagabond walked across the park to meet them, a large gray cat, one of the Blacks and Calico's offspring, dropped out of a lightning-warped maple tree to block her path. The gray was one of the few kittens at least as intelligent as his parents. He had refused to join Bagabond's group of animals when he understood how Bagabond used the creatures to her advantage, sometimes without caring about the effect on the animals' lives. The gray had chosen to live apart, in a section of Central Park Bagabond used only infrequently. He resented her presence. Now Bagabond told him she would not be there long. The cat imaged dead bodies scattered across the landscape. Bagabond stiffened and told him to leave her. He turned and trotted a few yards away, before he turned and spat at her. She reached out with her mind to attack, but stopped before she burned out his brain. The gray disappeared into a stand of maples. Clenching her fists, Bagabond stood, watching the cat. Then she was abruptly aware of the progress of the Don's car. A peregrine, escaped from a would-be urban falconer, was Bagabond's eye, following the butcher's car as it cruised through the park. There were no colors, but the perception of movement caught her consciousness as the falcon's eyes roamed across the park. She brought him gliding back around to follow the butcher's car. According to Rosemary's file, Don Federico Macellaio used this daily drive to order the death of his opponents from his armored, surveillance-proof car. Bagabond leaned back against a broad tree trunk, kicked off her shoes, and concentrated on directing her animals. As she began the mental routine of organizing and directing the birds and animals she had summoned, Bagabond realized that the gray was hiding among the maples and observing her. She warned him off, but he responded with an image of himself marking the trees to show his territory. She ignored him as the Don's car drew closer to the spot she had chosen. She found she was nervous at the car's approach. The gray had broken her concentration. He had a gift for making her think in ways she normally avoided. The butcher was Rosemary's enemy, as well as her own. She had learned from the animals themselves to kill or be killed. The butcher was a threat that had to be removed. Besides, it would please Rosemary. It was obvious to Bagabond that Rosemary was too worried about too many things. Her concern with the Gambiones had become consuming. With a new Don, she could relax and spend more time with Bagabond. Bagabond wanted that enough to disturb the rhythms and lives of her creatures. To kill them. She closed the gray out of her mind and sent pain down the connection joining them. The gray yowled as she felt the energy hit him. The part of her mind that was organizing the birds had completed that task. The flocks of pigeons temporarily roosted in the trees around the bridge. For an instant, there was an unnatural stillness. Breaking out of the trees, gleaming as the sun hit the finish, the limousine proceeded around the corner on its stately way. The mirrored windshield reflected the tree branches overhead. A lone pigeon wheeled free of the flock and, at Bagabond's command, sent itself soaring high into the sky. Then it hurled itself down at the limousine's windshield, as though intending to land on one of the phantom trees. Blood splattered the white paint of the hood. The driver braked and seemed to hesitate for an instant before continuing. Bagabond watched the scene in fragments, seen through the eyes of the hawk now behind the car and the pigeons above and before the limousine. Her own eyes were wide and staring, but the other visions overwhelmed her human sight. She damped the pain of the pigeon in the same way she removed from her consciousness the constant deaths she normally experienced. Overhead, 100 birds stopped cooing as she took them over completely. The avian wave swept down toward the car, covering it in a cloak of blood and feathers. The limousine's brakes shrieked as the driver attempted a panic stop before his blindness wrecked the car. Keeping more of the pigeons in reserve, Bagabond shifted her attention to the hordes of squirrels gathered in the lower branches of the oaks and maples lining the road. As she directed a battalion of squirrels toward the swerving car, pain careened across her own mind. Her first thought was that either the black or the calico was in trouble. But tracing their individual patterns within her awareness of the city's wild ones told her that the cats were well. The gray. He deliberately was inflicting pain on himself, trying to destroy her concentration. Bagabond reprimanded him mentally, sending waves of emotional chill stunning his rebellion. Only a few seconds had passed, but the driver was close to regaining control when the roadway became a moving carpet of squirrels. The driver had accelerated to escape the birds. Bagabond sent the animals under the wheels of the car. The shrieks of the dying squirrels mixed with the sound of abused brakes. The heavy car's momentum carried it across the massed rodents. Their blood greased the road and the limousine skidded sideways. Now the doors and side panels were streaked and spattered with blood. Bagabond's head snapped to the side as feedback from the gray flooded her mind. This time he was not satisfied with distraction. Now he tried to disperse the animals, using Bagabond as a focus. Her anger streamed out, knocking him unconscious. She might have killed him, but her attention was needed at the bridge. The driver had overcorrected for the skid and sent the car into a spin. The right wheel struck the low guardrail, bending it out. The mass of the car's armor plate sent it crashing through the retaining wall and over the side. Streaks of white paint remained on the metal and concrete. One wheel cover was slung free. It preceded the limousine over the edge, skimming slowly through the air like a frisbee. The automobile wasn't so fortunate. Time for Bagabond seemed to stop as she watched the car roll over in the air. One part of her was ending the lives of the birds and squirrels injured in the attack. Another part considered the murder and wondered if it was worth the cost to help a friend and take revenge.